Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect. I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design, and technology, facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening.
Hello! Thank you so much for joining the show. How are you?
Hello, Therese. I am very good. And how are you doing?
I am very fine. Thank you. The first question would be right away, who are you? Please introduce yourself.
My name is András Weisskopf. I am an architect from Budapest, Hungary. And I am also an assistant professor at the Budapest University of Technology and Economics Faculty of Architecture, Department of Residential Building Design.
And it was a very long name. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Never mind. I wanted to be precise with from where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Besides practicing architecture, I have multiple studios running from the first semester until diploma projects. And from where you might know me is that I have a platform for my students on Instagram where they can share their, or we can share their projects.
Before we get deeper into your work, I have some warm-up questions. And the first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
It really depends on the time of the day, of course. Mm-hmm. I really like my coffees, whatever variety, from espresso all the way to like a nice flat white. And if I go in the alcohol direction, I usually do 2B60, if you know.
2B60. No, give me a short explanation.
2B60 is a shot from Haifa.
Yeah.
It originated from there. It's like a citrusy, gingery, yellow drink, and you can drink it in many different ways with soda. You can drink it straight up, and it's, if you haven't tried it, you have to try it because I think it's really an interesting thing.
After this interview, I will look it up online immediately. If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for? It can be anything.
I think this is a really tough question. If I could choose anything, I would probably want to have more time or do things, do more. So that's basically the point. I would like to do more in a day or in a certain amount of time because I'm, as an architect, I'm pretty sure that you are also in this situation that somehow you always want to do more as you have time for. So this would be my superpower.
So how many hours should the day have?
I want to be careful with my answer. I would say maybe double. I don't know. I don't know. I would say it would be nice to sleep 16 hours in mm-hmm. a double. So everything is double the sleep and double the everything else, and then it would be okay. So I'm not, I wouldn't go for doubling just the work. I would double everything.
Okay. Also the meals that you then eat. Because then it's everything is doubled.
I haven't thought of that, but maybe, yes, I don't know.
What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
My favorite hobby is taking images. I do photography. I photograph buildings a lot. I actually have also an Instagram for that, for my building, for my images of buildings, and I actually post every day an image of a building. This is like a daily thing, because I think that architecture is usually like a very long-term thing. You get into a project, and then if you are lucky, it takes several months, but it can take years. And a few years ago, I thought, okay, I need something to do that can be that can be very short, so it, that can have a result quite quickly. And I took up this hobby that I would take an image every day, process it and post it, and this would, there would be like a reward instantly. Like, and this was and is still the project that is usually the goes through the fastest for me, because as an architect, I rarely come across tasks that I can finish in a day. So
I can relate to this. And the pictures that you post every day, one photography, you took this photography on the exact same day, or you look in your album and then you publish one? How does it work?
I would say it's around 90% same day.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that I really liked to use public transport, metro, and I was a little bit, I had enough of the news feed on my phone also. So the idea was that I would take an image and I would process it on the phone whilst I am traveling from location to location, and I would post at night. And this is how it goes. And if I go somewhere, I visit another city or another country or something, I will post over an elongated period if I see a lot of interesting things. And if I, because I think if I took a lot of, or if I have seen a lot of interesting things, I want to share that as well. So then there is a little bit of mismatch. But usually I try to aim for same day image and processing.
Yeah, of course, I went to your Instagram page of photography and I really like that.
Thank you so much. I'm glad.
Looks really good. You mentioned that you are working in the university. I'm really sorry that I forgot already the long name. But now my question. How important is this intersection in your work and your ability to embrace new ideas if you work with students and in general younger people than us?
I see. I think it is very important. I usually like to surround myself with people who don't really think the same things about architecture that I do. And I usually enjoy a good debate. And this is also, this is true for both when I design and work as an architect, and also in my university practice. And I try to be very open-minded. And I also think that, because usually in architecture, it is very rare that the opinion of a single person gets all the way through the whole project. So there is usually some type of debate or influence or something. And I find this very important to show something about this to the students, and also put my money where my mouth is and do the same in my own practice. So it is very cliche-like, but when I work, I think that one plus one is usually more than two, because if you can work together with someone, then that's usually very fruitful. So And I try to bring this to my design studios, and I also aim for like a non-hierarchical type of situation inside these studios. So I encourage my students to show off their ideas, and I try to put myself in a position where I am also only a person with an idea. I know I'm a little bit more experienced with as them, but in many cases, if a student does a project for a semester, maybe they know about that certain topic a little bit more than me. And I am really open to this type of surprises and new ideas.
And when you say debate, is it just a normal conversation, like a flow of ideas? Or is it also sometimes getting a little bit louder in the classrooms?
it gets louder, and it gets I wouldn't say loud. I would say yes. That's a good phrasing. It gets passionate. It can get passionate because I think that there is something to be learned from a perspective of a student when. Architects debate over their project, and if they are passionate and there are different types of aspects and scenarios drawn up in connection with the project, and then a student can see that their project induces this type of passion in a lot of people, and then I think it is so learning through this is much more involved, even also for from the perspective of a student, than just like standing in front of the class and explaining that this is this and that's that. So I try to be as passionate as possible and as real as possible. So of course, like within human, within the perimeters of humanity, but we try to be as close to real life as we can be.
So actually, you have there a really important role because you also prepare the students for the real world. And university is normally not that close to the real labor world. How is there something or someone that inspires you in order to forward this your inspired mind to the students? Is there something that you really want them to know, and who gives you those ideas?
There isn't a specific... This is a really tough question again. This is the... maybe you need to cut this out, I don't know, but I think... I am mostly inspired by a good challenge, to be honest, and to try to learn and experience new things, which is this might sound a little bit or is a little bit cliche like, but also. I think that architecture is, or at least from where I'm standing, many projects are different. In a lot of projects, you need to work together with a lot of different people. You need to involve from artists to engineers, so a lot of different people, and to keep an open mind and to be able to work in this environment, for me the openness to learn something new is something that inspires me, and this curiosity, to be honest. Maybe curiosity is, this is the answer, that curiosity is the thing that inspires me, and I try to convey this to my students, that if they are open-minded and curious about what is happening around them, they can develop their own strategies much easier than than as they, as it would be in reverse. So,
and what was the last topic that you thought, this is really interesting, I'm curious about it, and I want them to know this? Is there something you can name?
Not really specifically, to be honest. I usually try to, when I speak with students about topics, I usually try to go by kind of news, actual things happening around us, the reason for them to be conscious about what is happening right now around them. So, for example, we were like the last occasion, actually, like yesterday, we were debating Mr. Chipperfield and his work based on his recent Pritzker Prize. And so I don't really form around like topics. I try to be as like news oriented in terms of architecture, to be always on, for my students to try to always be on like a verge of the newest information, maybe.
What was the result of this debate around Chipperfield?
This wasn't really a debate. I would show them his work, and we were talking about this phenomena of values around architecture, how values would change, how people would something would be very well received, for example, 20 years ago, and then like opinions change in terms of how we deal with our resources, for example. So we were just, these were first year students, so we were, I was trying to broadly introduce them to this world of big architects and big prices to be won.
Resources is a very good keyword for my next question. How important is nature in everything that you teach and also for yourself as an architect?
Of course, it is very important. I think that what we call nature right now and what we take for granted as in terms of the natural environment around us is a finite thing. So, and I'm pretty sure that society is right now surely, like slowly but surely, heading towards not in a very good direction in terms of nature and how we handle nature around us. So I think about this a lot, and I also think as an architect, there are very many layers of this topic. So small scale thinking to keep trees around, to do design projects in a way that are like friendly towards their environment, like in a physical capacity, but also in many other ways. So I think this is a very very on point topic right now, the topic of nature, and I think as architects we should be more conscious about how to take care of nature and how to like watch out for it, because it can watch out for itself, but then we will like the coexistence of humans and nature is I think very delicate balance, to be honest.
Yeah, we are nature's only problem.
yes.
And how do your students approach to this topic? Have you seen a change of thinking, and a change in their designs that they show to you? Is climate change, or it's not even climate change because it's actually happening. So is the climate crisis where we are stuck in right now and a really big topic?
It's a very interesting topic because I don't teach for that long. So I have my own design studios for around 5 to 6 years, and I have been teaching for around 10. Mm-hmm. But what my my experience is that like approximately 10 years ago, you would see students, as in like people in their early 20s, thinking about climate change as something that will happen in a distant future, and that we will need to be dealing with, but not right now. And if I talk with my first year students right now or yesterday, then I can see like a sense of urgency that we are right now in it. I couldn't tell when this shift happened. It's just something that right now I have this feeling that people are more conscious about it, even young people. And I think that in many ways, this is very good for us, I think, because this doesn't become like environmental consciousness doesn't become an extra thing that is added on top of architecture, like an extra layer, but it becomes a way of thinking inside architecture. And what I also see is that this is not an option for them. This is they will ask how they can protect existing natural elements, trees. They will ask about local sourced materials. They will search for if we design somewhere, they will search for any given or half demolished thing that they can continue with a little bit less resources. And a few years ago, this is something that would have been needed to be pointed out, that this is also an option. But right now, I feel like this comes from within their own cultural, like from the times that we live in, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Germany, we have a group. You probably heard about them. They call themselves the Last Generation. And they glue themselves on the streets and block the streets and everything. And I also have, I'm very concerned, but it's not that I think everything will be over in a couple of years. But I can also relate to this feeling of panic, that actually nothing makes sense anymore and you're so under pressure. And do you feel that also in the students' thinking, or not that extreme?
I wouldn't call it, what I feel is not a pressure. I would say it's like a constant apocalypse, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good subscription of
it. Because I think that that everyone by now understands that something is happening, and I think that the knowledge about this, and that we can already feel it and experience it, gives this topic a sense of like a timestamp that is really happening now, or something that we are influenced by on a daily basis. But also, I see that from the people around me that everyone knows that this is something that they need to understand live with, solve it, find out new ways to think about it. And I think that this is not a question of whether this is really happening, but more like something that everyone knows that they will need to deal with in their lifetimes somehow.
Now it's really hard for me to build a bridge to my next question because so I will just ask you, how do you imagine the future now that we talked about the climate crisis? It's a little bit hard to get out of this topic, but how do you imagine the future working space and living space?
I think it's going to be full of debate as far as I'm concerned, yeah. But also full of AI. I'm pretty sure about that. So even in the past few months or weeks, my perspective has changed on the topic of AI, for example. And
why? What happened?
I have tried it out and I have used it in like projects, and now I am preparing a task for a studio with AI.
What exactly did you try out? The virtual reality glasses or?
I tried out Midjourney.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also experimented with Stable Diffusion. I believe that like architecture is in many ways a thing of curation. So there is more and more things are available to architects and to people, the more you have to know what you actually use and what you actually do. And I think that like AI is a really good tool for this, to experience this, because in a sense, AI is as powerful as you are. So because it will generate things based on what you tell it to do. And there is a certain skill required for this. But you really need to know what to ask from it. And I think that it will, like, for me, AI enhances this curator type of facet of architecture. Let's put it this way.
Do you think many of us will be without jobs then?
I don't know, but the question is, it's a good question, to be honest. I have listened to, I have talked with people who are in movie making, in the industry of movie making, and they were talk. I'm not like in any way a big knower of AI technologies. I'm just like referring to what I have heard. But they were talking about AI right now, trying to make the jump from still images into video, and for AI to become 3D aware. I think like this is the best phrasing. And I do believe that this will come. It is only a certain, it is only the question of time, not a matter of time, not when. I really don't know what this will cause to like actual architects working, because I don't think that responsibility would be taken over by AI. So I would guess that there always needs to be someone who signs a project, and there always needs to be someone who inputs the phrases into AI. In many years ago, like in the in the middle of the previous century, there was this notion of an architect working in his office alone, being able to do everything on their own, like drawing, drawing perspectives, calculating structures, like everything. And I think already a lot of these tasks are fulfilled by others in the field. You will work together with other engineers, other like visual artists, so a lot of other people. And I think this trend will continue, that you will work together with more and more people, and maybe some of these people will be AI. This is a really bad formulation, but maybe this is what is going to happen.
Yeah, but now, so for example, I don't think that I would be able to now do a little class and then become an IT specialist to program AI. I doubt that very much about myself because I started to learn programming with Python and I stopped after programming a little menu for some snacks. And mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, I'm done here. So I would be one of the jobless people. Or maybe I'm the one creative head that is still employed.
The thing with AI is that you should try it. That's my, if you haven't, you should try it. And I think the biggest eye-opener for me was how easy it is. So there are like 10-15 commands that you need to know, and that's everything there is to know. And it will do your visualization, it will choose your materials. So it's really, I think that for me, the ease of use was really shocking, to be honest, that you can basically watch any 20-minute YouTube video on how to do it, and you download Discord, and there you go. So I think that this is really what for me is empowering, in a sense, that the level of entrance into this field is kind of low, in my opinion. But to know what to write in, so. Actually, your architectural knowledge, without me actually knowing what you do, but from what little I know, I think the architectural knowledge and your experience already makes you or will make you qualified to do this. So I think I don't see it very grim, to be honest, but maybe in 10 years when we do another interview, there will be like, I don't know, tables turned or something. I don't know.
But isn't it also a little dangerous if it's possible to do rendering so fast or design so fast? Because as an architect, you always have to suffer a little bit, I think, to bring out something good. And if it's just like, push the button and 10 minutes later you have it, and then you go back on the couch and you watch Netflix, then this quality and the thought behind it gets lost.
I know what I see what you are referring to, this like handcraftedness of architecture, maybe we can call it something like this. Hard topic, because I think so it took me a lot of tries to get something out of Midjourney that I actually liked. So although it is pretty easy to get something out, but to get something out that you like, that's not as easy. Maybe it will be in the future. And I also think that to a certain level, there will be a level where it can't go any more detailed or something. But I know that I'm already countering my what I have said 5 minutes ago about AI. So Yes, it loses a certain type of handcraftedness or hands-on feel. But also, I think that there will always be a place for architecture that is done manually. And just as, for example, in terms of watches, you still have the like Swatch, and you still have the beautiful handcrafted movements. So I think that there will be something like this, but it will be a niche in terms of architecture.
We are already very fixed on our video screens and computer screens. So in general, we have a lot of screen time going on. Do you think, or have you noticed in debates or conversations with your students, that they maybe are faster in processing informations, but lose ability to concentrate on a topic for a longer amount of time?
I would say I have noticed something like this, but at the same time, I try to use this. To be honest, nowadays, if you come across someone who is looking into their phone, you may never know whether they were looking at TikTok or whether they were, I don't know, like writing an essay or whether they were researching something. So it is really a person looking into their phone can mean a lot of things. And certainly this type of behavior poses new challenges in terms of architecture or in terms of education as well. But I also think that this is a resource. So if this is not going to slow down anytime soon, nor is it going to change. So I think in my studios, I try to build on this ability that people can research something much faster than me, and they can curate information much faster than me. Maybe this is a topic that I have introduced in my studios to talk about information choice or information curating very wide broad band of information that gets to someone, how you can find your own way and your own things. And I think if you can empower someone with this knowledge, then they can use their skills of phone usage in many different things. For example, when COVID lockdowns hit, I think 2020, there was a first year design course where from one day to another, everyone just went home. And I told my students that they can do visualizations in whatever device they want. They couldn't even go to a shop to buy paper, for example. And some of my students have drawn visualization in Instagram, in Insta stories, and they put like emoji trees onto these drawings as trees and people, and it was really very interesting to see that knowledge as being able to share something on Instagram can actually be used as a creative tool. Mm-hmm. And since then, I think that we need to constantly work on what we look at as tools, for example. So to reformulate it a little bit shorter, I think that this phenomena exists, and I think this can be dangerous, but also can be a tool that people can use.
So actually we are ourselves recreating how our brains work, that we are empowering it to switch from task to task faster and easier instead of sitting there and concentrating for a really long period of time.
Very true. There is also a like an ongoing debate about this, whether you really need the factual knowledge or whether the knowledge of how to find the fact is more important than the facts themselves. I'm torn on this debate, but I think since everyone has these types of tools to at their discretion every time, maybe not on an exam situation, but every time, you can always look up something and you can always find the correct information if you know where to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The opinion from older generations is that we become a little bit dumber.
Yes.
We don't use our brain. We just look it up.
If I wanted to be sarcastic, I would say to this older generation that the generation who was older than them thought the same thing about them. So hard to formulate an opinion about this.
Yeah, so let's just stay with we recreate our brains.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. About that, I'm pretty sure.
Unfortunately, we already reached the last question. What means architecture for you personally?
For me, architecture means a certain type of consensus, maybe. But it's very hard to formulate this because I think architecture, like what architecture is for me, it changes from project to project, maybe even from day to day. But I would say for me, this is the constant of debating and trying to get on a consensus with people who I work with. And I'm really fortunate enough to be surrounded with very talented architects and students and artists to have these very good debates. But for me, this is architecture to try to bring something to the table and that we can discuss as a team.
That's a nice answer. That sums it up.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for taking the time and being my guest. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and thank you for the really tough questions.
No problem. And in 10 years, we will hear each other again.
Sure, sure.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!